Stanley Cup playoffs in full swing here. Another day, Wednesday. Really good hockey last night. A couple 2-0 splits, a couple 1-1 splits. After a couple games here in the first round, we got our first overtime. Took us this long to get our first overtime game, although it was quick. Carter Verhaeghe ending that one and giving the Florida Panthers a 2-0 series lead. We got three games on the ground tonight. We will talk about those, but first we will talk about the games here. And thank you for joining us, by the way. If this is your first time, if you are a frequent listener, thank you again for being with us today. Go check out On the Gravel, too, if you haven't. That is a show that we do. It is about F1. It is hosted by one of our producers, Raven, and another great host, Oliver Ward. Go give that a listen and a review. And also do the same for this one if you have the time. Should be right wherever you are listening to this. So we thank you in advance. Some great hockey last night. Really great games. Rangers go up 2-0. Cats go up 2-0. And the Avs and the Nashville Predators get some big wins. But I wanted to start with the New York Rangers and that game against the Capitals. The Capitals showed a lot of fight in this game. A lot more fight than they were able to muster up in game one. But at some point in this series, and maybe it kind of felt like it on the Mika Zibanejad power play goal, does it not just feel that at this point the New York Rangers are inevitable? It's a really good hockey team. I know that Washington's a little bit overmatched here. But the Rangers, man, they're playing very hard. They're playing that way that you need to win in the playoffs. Igor Shesterkin was very good yesterday. They got contributions from all up and down the lineup. The shorthanded game winner by Keandre Miller stood. And, this almost feels like a 2-0 series lead that might be it for the Washington Capitals. Although, I mentioned that they showed a lot of fight. Dylan Strome did. Tom Wilson really created some havoc and created an impact in this game. A lot of the young players have been really impressed with the play so far through the playoffs. Hendrix Lapierre, Connor McMichael, some of these guys have been really, really good for Washington through two games. I do fully expect that when this series shifts to home ice for game three on Friday, that the Washington Capitals will show just as much, if not more, fight toward the New York Rangers. So while many people, including myself, might think that this might be a quick series, the Washington Capitals might have something to say about that. I just want to point out that Mika Zibanejad now sits seventh all-time, tied with Rod Greschner on the most career power play goals in the playoffs in Rangers history. And I also wanted to point out that Keandre Miller became the seventh Rangers defenseman on record to score a shorthanded goal in the playoffs. I will not read them all, but the most recent was Mark Stahl. Really, really impressive stuff. I think I read something about it being only the second or third or something like that defenseman in the last 20 years to have a shorthanded goal stand as the game winner. So, and he's one of my favorite players to watch in the National Hockey League. I love the way his game is growing. Love his skating a lot. Love the physicality he plays with, the emotion, the intensity, the passion, all of those things. This Rangers team's good. I can't fault that. I've tried to poke holes in their game all season long, and now when it matters most, they are taking advantage of it. So New York goes up 2-0 in that one, and maybe we are burying the lead here by not opening this show with the save of the playoffs, and we already got it when most of these series are only about two games in. That save by Sergei Bobrovsky on Matt Dumba might not just go down as save of the playoffs, but save of the season. Panthers win 3-2 in overtime. Carter Verhaeghe gets the overtime winner. And I want to pause for a moment on Carter Verhaeghe before we go back to that save. This is a guy who was overlooked by just about every team he was on before the Florida Panthers. Goes to Florida and they say, here is an opportunity to show us what you can do. And he took full advantage of it and has really blossomed into not just one of the most clutch players in the league, and he is that, but also just a very complete player. We talk a lot about in hockey of playoff style performers. He is certainly one of them. That is his fifth career playoff overtime winner. That puts him on a list all time. I had it here. Tied for third all time in Stanley Cup playoff history, which is pretty remarkable when you consider the company around it. Joe Sakic has the lead with 8, followed by Maurice Richard with 6. And then you've got a bunch of guys tied at 5. Carter Verhaeghe among the names like Corey Perry, Glenn Anderson, and Patrick Kane. That's incredible company for a guy like Verhaeghe to keep. Like I said, a guy that was counted out his whole life. This is the kind of guy, you know, that wins you playoff games in the Stanley Cup playoffs. We've seen some really incredible performances from guys like Dakota Joshua, guys who are able to get in on the forecheck hard, create some open space for themselves and their teammates, and also just deliver. You have to be able to play with the puck on your stick, and both Joshua and Carter Verhaeghe certainly can do that. Florida, from the Tampa side of things, you played a great game, and this is probably a tough one to swallow after you did play such a good game. Panthers had them on their heels in the first, but Tampa really worked to level things out after that. You have to wonder what kind of effort it is going to take in Game 3 in order to really get a win on the board here, because we all know that you're one game away from 3-0, and that will be a daunting task against this Florida Panthers team, who looks like they're just firing on all cylinders. So this save by Sergei Bobrovsky on Matt Dumba, a lot of the greatness of it has to do with the fact of just how out of position Sergei Bobrovsky was. You could make the argument that Matt Dumba shot it right at him, but that's really not the case. Matt Dumba had a whole empty net, and then he didn't. Bobrovsky really stretched across, flipped around, made the save. And I mean, if you haven't checked it out, go do so right now. But I'm pretty sure anybody listening to this program already did get a good look at that Sergei Bobrovsky save. And he's been excellent for the Panthers. I mean, through two games, he's been arguably the Panthers' best player. Tampa Bay has not been holding back on shots. They've been stifled a little bit by Florida at times, but they've really been able to create how they want to and do what they want to on the forecheck and create offensively how they want to. Sergei Bobrovsky's just been good, and it's going to be a tough game and a tough series the rest of the way. I'm just watching the save again, and I can't not help but not watch it. I'm going to send this over to you, Brendan, just so you can get a good look at this, because this is probably one of the coolest things I've seen in the playoffs so far.
Yeah, I got to get a look at this.
Yeah, I mean this save is wild. Sorelli comes in, Stamkos puts it in front, and Matt Dumba thinks he has an empty net. And oh boy, Sergei Bobrovsky just coming over with the glove, sticking it out, hoping the puck hits any little piece of him. And sure enough, he got a piece of that. Did you see that?
I'm watching it right now.
It's unbelievable. I mean, and look, that save, it keeps it a 2-2 hockey game. If Tampa Bay goes up 3-2 in that game, you never know how that series turns out, how that game turns out. What the rest of the series looks like. Maybe Tampa Bay comes away from South Florida with a 1-1 split. But alas, it is 2-0 Cats as we head up back up to Tampa Bay. What do you think?
isn't that just like a circus act? Yeah.
Yeah, that's like that is circus hockey right there.
It was almost like he's playing with him. Like he was pretending he didn't see where the puck was, and he just like...
And here's the thing, too, like, you know, part of me is explaining this, like, Bobrovsky doesn't know where the puck is. But the more I think about it, I think you might be right. I think the goalie knows that the puck's going to hit him. Like, I think he knows sticking that arm out there, he has a pretty good chance of knocking that puck away. This is great stuff from Bobrovsky. Panthers go up 2-0, like I mentioned. So those are our 2-0 series right now. We will look to see if we get more of those tonight as we get a couple game twos and a game three for you on tap. But now we got some 1-1 splits, and that was also our first overtime game of the playoffs. I know it didn't last for very long, but give us more. Let's get some more playoff hockey going, playoff overtime hockey so far. You know, we want more of it. Maybe not tonight because it is a work night, but let's get it on Friday especially. Let's get a couple overtime games that, you know, maybe stretch into double or triple overtime. That would be a lot of fun. Please and thank you, National Hockey League. So the 1-1 splits, Colorado really needed to come out with good effort. It looked like the Jets had control of that one after the Mark Scheifele goal to put them up 2-1. And then the Avalanche decided to become the Colorado Avalanche. And Avalanche, you know, all down the Winnipeg Jets. It was a great rally by the Avs. Georgiev was much better after, you know, a really tough game one. He looked a lot calmer. He seemed a lot calmer. Avs played a really good game in front of him. They really weathered the storm in front of Georgiev, especially after taking the lead on the Zach Parise goal. That had to feel good for Zach Parise as well. You know, was retired, although I have to admit, I did not know that he had formally announced his retirement. Makes a return to the lineup about halfway through this regular season, joins this Avalanche squad as they search for their second Stanley Cup in three seasons. And he gets a goal, and he gets a big goal. And then Josh Manson gets one coming out of the penalty box. And then Val Nichushkin finishes it on the empty net. Avalanche take down the Jets 5-2. We are all tied up at one going back to Denver. This was a game of two stories. One, Winnipeg was really dominant in the first part of the game, and then it was all Colorado in the second part of it. You know, if Colorado Stars are going to be allowed to do what they want, and I'm mostly looking at 29-8, Cale Makar has been excellent through two games, and if he continues to do what he has been doing, the Jets are in trouble. I mean, this is a really, really good Avalanche team. It's a team with Stanley Cup pedigree. Even though we all know about the goaltending situation in Colorado, that is a team that isn't going to let the narrative or even the reality of the narrative overtake them and really put them down. And look, this was never going to be a sweep for the Winnipeg Jets either. But you got to love the fight for Colorado. A lot of shot blocks. Getting in front of a lot of pucks. Same for Nashville. We'll get to them in a little bit. But really impressive performance by the Avs. If you're the Jets, you might want to look at the fact that everything just kind of came at once. You know, you're winning 2-1, and before you know it, you're down 4-2. And then the game is kind of out of reach. So, you know, I expect a lot out of this series going forward. I really expect Connor Hellebuck to step up. You know, I'm sure if you would ask him if he would allow 11 goals through the first two games of this playoff series, although I know one of them was an empty net. So if you had told Connor Hellebuck that he would allow 10 goals through the first two games of the playoffs, we would all probably call you crazy. But if you told him that, he would probably be very displeased about it. So I expect much more of a mental reset from him. I won't lie. I expected it to come last night from Hellebuck. It did not, although there weren't many opportunities that the Avalanche really didn't have just like bang bang plays on open nets for loose puck scrambles that were just kind of all over the place. Especially on the Parise goal. I'm thinking back on it now. But the Jets need to play much more detailed, and they got to commit to it for a full 60 minutes. Otherwise, Colorado is arguably one of the tougher teams to beat if you are unable to put together a full 60. So, Avs get the much-needed win. The whiteout stays silent after that, and we head back to Denver, like I said, tied one apiece. And then the last game of the night, Preds at Vancouver. The big news of the day yesterday, and really the big news of this game in this series, was no Thatcher Demko for the Vancouver Canucks. He is now listed as week to week. You know, he was sidelined for 14 games, March 13th to April 13th. It was about a month. You know, Demko returns for the final two games of the regular season. He plays in game one, and nobody really thinks anything of it. Made 22 saves in that 4-2 win, but he did not skate the last 2 days. He did skate on Monday a little bit, but nothing too formal. And, you know, it was a tough game for Casey DeSmith. You could almost feel like that injury kind of took the wind out of the sails of the Vancouver Canucks. It's going to be hard for them to win this series. It almost changes the vibe entirely of the Vancouver Canucks, which is very unfortunate because they've had such a good season. They looked so good in game one. And now you're kind of dealing with an injury to your most important player. You don't want to pin things on anybody. Not if you are in the room or outside of the room. It doesn't make us look good. And if you are on the inside, you don't want to pin anything on anybody because you still have to come out for game three. That being said, if you limit your team to 15 shots, or if you limit a team to 15 shots, you got to get some saves. And I know Casey DeSmith, it was his first Stanley Cup playoff action since 2022 with the Pittsburgh Penguins, but and only his second career Stanley Cup playoff start, so I'm not going to bury this guy too much. But the Canucks played a pretty decent game in front of him, especially after going down. Which is a hard thing to say because you shouldn't start playing your best hockey after you are losing 1-0, 2-0, or 3-0, in which case it was for Vancouver when they finally started to turn the tide a little bit. It looked like it deflated the whole hockey team. I don't know what you do. I don't think you put Artur Seelovs in, who was good with the Canucks this season, has gotten wins for that team, but I don't know that. You can't not turn to Demko. I think you have to at this point. Or DeSmith, I'm sorry. Demko is out. But that game and this series going forward, I think really, one, you have to give credence to the Predators. You got to give them credit. Played a really structured, fine detailed hockey game. Got in front of a ton of shots. I think the final count was 30 blocked shots for Nashville. And look, they protected their goalie. UC Saros was good when he had to be. And, Nashville ties the series at one, going back to Vancouver, or going back to Nashville, which I think is all that you could have asked for if you were a Predators player or fan. The other thing, though, this series and what that game might be the start of, and if so, the Vancouver Canucks might be in even more trouble than they already are in. If Philip Forsberg gets going like this, he is going to be a huge problem for Vancouver. Two goals yesterday for him. That second goal might have been goal of the night. I mean, that was gross, for lack of a better word. You can't give a guy like that much time and space near the side of the net. He will make you pay, and he did. And if he is finding a way to consistently shoot the puck like that and bury his chances, because he is a type of player, he will get his chances every game. He will get them on game three night on Friday. If he buries his chances, this could be a quick series for Nashville. They could really, really do a good job trying to put away a team that many peg them as unable to beat going into this playoffs. So those are your games last night. They were all very good. I know Nashville went up 3-0 in Vancouver on that one, but even still, very, very good hockey so far. We've been really treated to some really good stuff. So three games on the go-around tonight, and we'll see if I missed anything from the games last night, but I don't think I did that I wanted to get out. Three games tonight. We have the Bruins taking on the Maple Leafs in game three of that series. That series is tied as we go, as we shift that series to Toronto. And then we got a pair of game twos, Vegas at the Dallas Stars and the Los Angeles Kings at the Edmonton Oilers. So I wanted to mention, so when a best of seven series is tied 1-1 in the National Hockey League, the winner of game three holds an all-time series record of 234-120. That is a winning percentage of 6-6-1. Toronto holds a 10-9 record in that scenario, while Boston is at 19-6. If the Maple Leafs beat the Bruins tonight, it will be the first time that they have beaten Boston back-to-back since a four-game stretch from November 6, 2021 to November 5, 2022. They're going to need more from some of their players, that being Toronto. If they do hope to do such a thing, they're going to need more from Mitch Marner. They're going to need more from Morgan Riley, who has yet to find the score sheet in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But there's hope. I mean, Morgan Riley has points in each of his last five home playoff games, dating back to first round last year. And Boston's going to come out hard. They're going to come out hard. You heard the press conferences from Jim Montgomery. You know, you heard Brad Marchand talking about the makeup of the Maple Leafs. They know exactly how to talk. That is part of Bruins culture, knowing how to display yourself in times of being the underdog and being the favorite, straddling that line. It is a line that the Tampa Bay Lightning have so well straddled over the last 5 years. Boston plays that to a T. They're going to come out very, very hard, very physical in this game. The big question for Boston is, do you go back to Jeremy Swayman, which I think all of us assume that you do. The question then becomes, if you win tonight and you're the Boston Bruins, do you go back to Linus Ullmark for game four, or do you finally stick with Jeremy Swayman for a couple of games here? These are all questions that will be answered for us as the hockey unfolds itself. So that is your first game tonight. Second one is Dallas at or Dallas hosting the Vegas Golden Knights in game two of that one. Question for Vegas might be also with the goaltending, will Logan Thompson start this one, or will they turn to Aiden Hill and do a bit of a rotation here? And how does Dallas respond? You kind of got punched in the mouth. You were down 2-0. You get a goal taken off the board in the first period, and it always kind of felt like you were chasing the hockey game from there. If you're Dallas, you are going to look to not do that in this one. First goal is probably going to be very, very important in this one, although I expect a lot of them, that being goals, in this game. And we'll see how it goes. Can Jake Ottinger also respond too? Because this is one of the best goalies in the league, in my opinion. We all remember that first round a couple of years ago against the Calgary Flames when Jake Ottinger looked like the second coming of Ken Dryden. But if you are Jake Ottinger, you know that the talent is there. If you're Dallas, you know that the talent is there. Maybe you turn to Scott Wedgwood if things don't go well tonight for game three. I know that might sound crazy and might sound like something that you wouldn't have thought of saying before the season started. My big thing for some of these goaltenders that are expected to be workhorses or are workhorses in the regular season and then expected to then carry their team in the playoffs. I don't know off the top of my head how many games Jake Ottinger started, but I know how many Connor Hellebuck started, and it was a lot. It was over 60. And if you are doing that with your goaltenders, be prepared for performances like you got in game one if you're Vegas or if you're Dallas against Vegas in game one, and be prepared for games like you got the other day, the 7-6 game in Colorado, and the 5-2-1 yesterday when Hellebuck lets in four goals. If you don't let these guys rest, to then throw them into the fire of the Stanley Cup playoffs and expect really good performances, like two goals or under, you're going to be hard-pressed to get those. And if Dallas ends up bowing out early, if Winnipeg ends up bowing out early, that might be something that is really heavily evaluated going into the next seasons. What can we do to keep our goalies fresher? One update I did miss from this Florida Panthers game. I forgot to mention Sam Bennett left the game in the second period after blocking a shot. He was hit in the hand by Brandon Montour's slap shot. And he left in the second period and did not return. The team said it was an upper body injury. So we will await the word on that, and if he is able to go in game three. Our last game of the night is LA at Edmonton. And for this game, I think for me, the question is all about, one, does Edmonton come out with the same flying start, that same intensity, burying a couple in the back of the net before the fans even have time to sit down? And if so, how is LA able to weather that storm? You know, Edmonton goes up 4-0 on LA in game one, and then it looked like the Kings started to play their hockey game. You can't really do that once you're down 4-0, but when you're down 4-0, it kind of allows you the ability to just play how you want. You know, you got to stretch things out a little bit, maybe cheat a little defense for some offense. You know, you're banging bodies a little bit more. You're being more creative in the offensive zone in the hopes that you bury one or two. Which LA was able to do. But it's almost as if you have to play that way from the start of the game. And that will be the fine line that LA toes tonight. And how does the goaltending hold up for them? A lot of goaltending questions so far in the playoffs. You know, we've had some very good performances, but we've also had some not very good performances. I know there's a good goalie inside there for Cam Talbot. I also remember watching the broadcast and seeing them pan over to David Riddick, who is sitting patiently on the bench awaiting a potential opportunity to get in the game. You know, LA has shown confidence in both of those goalies this season, so I would not be super surprised if at some point in this series we saw a David Riddick start for LA. But I don't know that that's going to be tonight. If the goaltending is able to hold up, though, we might be going back to Los Angeles tied at one, although this Edmonton Oilers team looks really, really, really good. But this is all stuff you know. This is all stuff we already know. These teams are good. I mean, you know, this is an Oilers team that's supposed to win the Stanley Cup. It looks like it's going to be Cam Talbot tonight in between the pipes for Los Angeles, although that is to be unconfirmed. And also looks like it'll be Logan Thompson tonight for the Vegas Golden Knights, too. Only confirmed starter we have today is Ilya Samsonov, will be between the pipes for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Third straight game we've seen him. So those are your hockey games tonight. They all should be very exciting ones. I wanted to give out a few injury updates here. So no Andrew Peak tonight in the Boston-Toronto game. He left game two in the second period after playing about 10 minutes. You know, was acquired from the Blue Jackets in a deadline deal. Played 15 regular season games for them. That's a tough blow for the Bruins. Jim Montgomery said that on Tuesday. They call up Mason Lowry, and it looks like either him or Parker Watherspoon will get into the lineup on the back end for the Bruins tonight. And also a tough blow for the Carolina Hurricanes, although they go up 2-0 against New York Islanders in that wild comeback win. And maybe we didn't spend enough time on that comeback, but we're going to have a lot more fun games to get to the rest of this week and the rest of the playoffs. That incredible comeback win did come at the cost of defenseman Brett Pesce. Sustained a lower body injury in that one. Left in the second period. Looks like he might miss the rest of the series. You know, there's a couple options if you're Carolina to put in the lineup. Tony DeAngelo is currently on the outside looking in and could look to make an impact on the back end if there is no Brett Pesce. Yeah, this is from Luke DeCock of the News and Observer reporting that Brett Pesce might miss the remainder of the first round matchup. Man, that's such a hard injury. He's such an important player for that defense core. But it could be Tony DeAngelo stepping in for Brett Pesce, or it could be Scott Morrow. That would be very interesting. I don't know. Let me look up exactly how many games he got into. I know it wasn't plenty. He only played in two regular season games, but he did play about 18 minutes in each of them. So we will see how Carolina decides to handle their goaltending there. They are also still without Jesper Fast. Game three in that series will turn to the island tomorrow night for that one. And we will also get game three in that incredible Florida-Tampa series we've gotten so far. Quiet night tomorrow, better night tonight. So looking here to see if there's anything else we missed. Oh, and I think the big question here for everybody is William Nylander. Will he play in the games? Will he play in the game tonight against Boston? Missed the first two games with an undisclosed injury. I know the reporting about this injury has been up and down. You know, the team is being mum. The reporters in Toronto and Canada are all over this injury. But we will see how it goes. I've seen a lot of people really put out some things that they're really putting their careers out there. Not that anybody's career is going to hinge on commentary of an injury, but really, really respected people in hockey have put out some pretty ludicrous takes about this injury. So I'm going to hold back until we know what is going on with William Nylander. I assume he would play tonight, but then again, I am as far removed from the inside as possible. So I do not know what the situation is there. Although we will see if he will play in that one. Although I'm sure Toronto fans would love to have their Swedish star in the lineup for that one. So those are your injuries. Those are your games. If you want a little bit of fun international hockey news, Kuwait lost to Thailand 57-0 in one of the most lopsided hockey scores ever. That coming from the U18 Asian and Oceania Championship. That also saw some other lopsided scores, but a really fun tournament, really showcasing the growth of hockey. I am going to read this very quickly. This is the list of the 9 teams in the tournament. Thailand, Kuwait, India, Indonesia, Iran, Macau, Malaysia, Mongolia, and the UAE. Those are that was also Kuwait's first game at the U18 level. So really interesting when you always see lopsided scores like that. That via Hockey Worldwide on Instagram, who's a very nice guy and someone we are going to get on this program after all the world championships are over, that being across all levels. And if you don't follow him already, you should on Twitter and Instagram at Hockey Worldwide. Really good stuff. Really, really showcases the hockey around the world. Not just blowout scores, but really people contributing to the growth of the sport around the world. So I just want to give that a quick shout out because I saw that headline making rounds after he posted it. So those are your games tonight. And that is your hockey. I hope you enjoy it. It is a quick episode for you guys here today. We are going to work to try and get some more guests on. I have some people lined up. It is just, for those of you that work in hockey or know what working in hockey is like, this is the busiest time of year. You go through your stretches in the playoffs where you are either absolutely slammed and nobody should even consider reaching out to you, or you got a little free time on your hands because you finally have a little bit of a break in the schedule at points in between games. But there's still lots of work to be done if you are in the hockey industry in any way, shape, or form. So enjoy the hockey tonight. Enjoy the 3 games. Like I said, 1 game 3 and a pair of game 2s. They all should be doozies. So thank you for listening to us today. Thank you for listening whenever you do, whether it is every day or it is whenever you get a chance. We really appreciate anybody that stops by and drops in for a listen. Like I mentioned, go listen On the Gravel. I only mention it because it's very good and also because we own it. That it's a great, fun show to listen to that it's only getting better. We are in the works for another show, like we already mentioned, and we have fun stuff planned. We have more shows. We have more ideas, people that want to be involved, companies that we're talking and working with. And it's just been a great experience so far being able to share knowledge and have fun talking hockey with you all every day. But enjoy the games tonight. Enjoy them all. I will be tuning into all of them. And we will come back tomorrow morning to discuss the results of all of them with you. Let's hope no incredible news drops as soon as we take the cans off here. Have a great rest of your day, everybody. Thank you. I have turned the storm of this beautiful land, but the beautiful